In the story of...
Say thank you very much, and I don't know, how do you say with a straight face it's a pleasure to be in Southampton in the wintertime? I was flying into New York this morning from Providence, Rhode Island, and I was a little sleepy because I'd been up all night. So I decided when I got on the plane, I would get me a little sleep. So I rushed on the plane and sit down. And there was a white cat sitting next to me. So naturally, I checked him out. And he was pretty groovy, you know. So I dozed on off and went to sleep. About 15 minutes after I get to sleep, this white cat decides he wants to strike up a conversation with me. So he did it the usual way. Wake up, boy. I woke up. Only to find out that he really had nothing to talk about. Now, he wanted to discuss Negro progress in America. I tried to inform him I did not want to discuss black progress in America because there's too few people in America that really realize what areas we've made a tremendous amount of breakthroughs in. A lot of people think we made tremendous progress in jobs and housing and education. Nah. You know, the biggest breakthrough for black folks in the history of this country happened 2 years ago in the state of Texas. We got our first colored hurricane, Beulah. I guess little by little, when you think about it, we're doing pretty good in certain areas. Television, every time you look at television, you see something black. And it's about time, too. You know. We got so damn sick and tired of looking at that white dove fly through that white woman's kitchen. Oh, Mars, there's a white dove in your kitchen. Said just one time I could see my sister run through there and yell, Beulah, baby, there's a black crow on the biscuit. And this year we got our first colored cowboy. You dug this black cat on something? He's something else. I can't think of the name of that show, the Outcast. Yeah, you can tell by the name, it's us. Next year, we're going to get another black cowboy, so this one has somebody to kill. I don't mean it like that. No, they let this cat kill a white cowboy every now and then, but you see, the script writers are complaining because whenever it becomes the black cat's turn to kill a white cowboy, the script writers really got to go through some changes. You know, like they got to dirty up this white cat. So when the black cat gun him down, you know, nobody would get uptight. Yeah, about 3 weeks ago, the black cat killed a white cowboy. This white cat had just finished raping a blind paraplegic. Salvation Army worker, right? So let me say it is a pleasure to be with you young folks this evening. I guess I can truthfully say that I spent about 98% of my time today on college campuses, and for a reason, simply because you young folks in America today is probably the most morally dedicated, committed group of young people that's ever lived in the history of this country, born none. (Clears throat) I hope you don't have to depend on these old right-wing, cracker-controlled newspapers to read them to find out who you are, because you'll never learn. What these newspapers say about you, they say that you are hippie, yippie, irresponsible, bearded, smelly kids, whatever that means. And the question that comes to mind is, because you have a beard, why does that mean you have to stink? And they don't say nothing about Abraham Lincoln. And he didn't only have a beard, he was ugly too. You see, the average established newspaper in America is really too immoral to even discuss you young people with yourself. They've never been honest with you. The newspapers in this country they're so busy putting you down, they've never once reported that had it not been for you, LBJ would probably still be the president today. Yeah. But you young kids created an atmosphere where LBJ had to retire. Do you know how strong that is? LBJ is probably the number one tyrant that walked the face of this earth since Julius Caesar. And you young kids sent him back to the ranch, and you didn't use one missile, one firebomb, or shoot one shot. You just got out with a pure moral dedication, and he understood how powerful that was. Yeah, I wonder when the newspapers will become honest with you youngsters. You know, I'll tell you something that's very interesting that newspapers have never told you. 15,000 hippies and yippies showed up into Chicago at the Democratic Convention, and that made the difference of Nixon being the president instead of Hubert Humphrey. You know how powerful that is? You know how strong that is? 15,000. Because had you not showed up in Chicago and that scene not gone out over television, there was a lot of people that just got so upset over what they had to look at rather than vote for Nixon, they just didn't vote at all. And had they not been so embittered over the Democratic Convention, Hubert Humphrey would have been the president. You know how much power that represents when 15,000 of you young folks can decide the fate and destiny of this country? Oh, there's a lot of us old fools real upset. Not that you showed up in Chicago, but because your appearance there created an atmosphere where Nixon could win over Humphrey. And the groovy thing about most young people got enough sense to know that between Nixon and Humphrey really didn't make too much difference, because when you're dealing with one of them stinking, nasty, slimy politicians, they all like the same. And you youngsters, as you work to change this system, it's going to have to create an atmosphere where statesmen can enter the political arena instead of politicians. And so you have a big job. You know, it gets pretty embarrassing to me if I have to go all over the country and speak with young people and not only tell you that the fate and destiny of America depends on you, not only do I have to say to you that you have to solve the problems confronting America tonight, you have to solve problems that you had nothing to do with creating. Yeah, these problems confronting America today, they were here before you got here. But thanks to us old fools, they will not be here when you leave. I say thanks to us old fools because, you see, we have created a situation for you youngsters that you have no choice but to solve the problem. We had a generation of us fools that crossed right ahead of you. You see, not only did we not solve the problems confronting America today, but for the first time in the history of America, we used up all the tricks. And so consequently, you young kids have the problems, but no tricks. And we wonder why you react the way you react, because you have no tricks. I mean, when I was a kid, my mother, my father, the whole community taught me one day you're going to grow up, boy, that white man's going to call you a nigger, and don't get mad because God don't like no ugly. And sure enough, I grew up and a cracker called me a nigger, and I didn't get mad, because God don't like no ugly. You know, I got 7 little black kids at home right now, and me and my old lady ain't teaching them nothing. And if a cracker ever makes a mistake to call one of them nigger, I can damn sure bet you's gonna surprise him. And out of the five, I know two of them gonna act accordingly. And though I say you youngsters have all the problems we left you, but no tricks. Let me say to you, I did not come here this evening to impress you, but only to inform you that when I leave here tonight, I couldn't care less about what you think about Dick Gregory, because I'll always have the one consolation of knowing that whenever we wake up this year, next year, 20 years from now, you'll always be able to say, at least Brother Greg didn't lie to us. And that's one of the big problems. The establishment keeps lying to you 24 hours a day. And then after you catch us, we say, well, it's a generation gap. It's a moral gap. I stand here tonight and say, 2 and 2 is 7. And when you react to it, I say, oh, well, it's just a generation gap. Ain't got nothing to do with age. Bertrand Russell, who's 98 years old, can leave London, England, and come to America and be one of the youngest among us, because he's going to reach you from a high ethical, moral, decent standpoint. Because we didn't just start lying to you. We started lying to you way back in the crib with that Santa Claus boy. We believe the first letter I ever wrote in my life went to a cat that didn't even exist. Dear Santa. Now, when your mama lied to you, damn near anybody qualifies to tell you a lie. Because that Santa Claus boy, he goes over better in the white community than he do in the black community. Because you see, not that we don't dig Santa Claus, we just know damn good and well ain't no white cat coming in our neighborhood after midnight. So really. And what's the number one lie we tell you young kids today? He said the number one problem confronting America today is the problem of air pollution. that's what we tell you. The number one problem confronting America today is the problem of moral pollution. This is the most morally polluted, degenerate, insane nation on the face of this earth, born none. You youngsters have the job of giving America her sanity back. You have the job of making America the morally stable country that the founding fathers meant for her to be. And I hope you don't make the mistake that all these right-wing crackers make. They're so busy running around eulogizing the country. America the beautiful. Eulogies are for dead things. And thanks to you youngsters, America is not dead yet. And I hope you will not make it a practice of eulogizing America. I hope you will go out and examine this country and find out where the cancer is and cut it out. America is beautiful. Let me tell you something. If you ever meet anybody that think America is a beautiful country with your Indian brother still locked up on that reservation, you tell them I said they sick, sad, and out of their damn mind. And this country will never be a beautiful country as long as that Indian is up on that reservation. And if it can be beautiful to you with him up there, then you're in trouble. And the sad thing about this country, and I think the most embarrassing thing, is we are the only country on the face of this earth that lies about what we all about. Mao Tse-tung don't pretend to be anything else but a communist and a revolutionist. Them clowns over there in Moscow, Russia, they don't pretend to be anything else other than some communists. As dirty and as sick as Hitler was, he didn't pretend to the world. He let the whole world know that he felt them Nazis were superior to everybody else on the face of this earth. Them folks in South Africa, they don't lie. They let the whole world know they don't like them niggas. America is the only country that lies about what she is. That should embarrass you. Regardless of how dirty the rest of the world is, they will own up to what they are. We say we about one thing, but we do all together something else in this country. And so I say you youngsters have a
a big job. But thanks to us old fools, you're waking up nice quick. Yeah, that's why I was tickled to death over what happened at the Democratic Convention. Because 3 days after the Democratic Convention was over, a lot of you young kids woke up. 3 days after the Democratic Convention was over, the whole establishment tried to convince you that you did not see what you saw on television. They said it didn't happen. They said the press created it. You know, if Kosygin and the rest of them damn fool Russians in Moscow was dealing with the world as insane as America, you know they could beat that Czechoslovakian rap? Just get on worldwide television and say, it didn't happen, y'all. Yeah, you didn't see it. And we admit we sent little miniature tanks to the Czech border for little kids to play with, and the damn press blew it up and make them look like real live tanks. But them fools in Moscow, Russia made the same mistake these old fools made in America. They plotted their little action, and they knew how the old folks were going to react, but they never took in consideration the reaction of you young kids. All them Russians moved them tanks into Czechoslovakia. They knew the old folks was going to be scared, but they never knew they'd see the day that young kids would run to their tanks and put swastikas on the tanks. I guess it'd be the same thing in America. They plotted on bringing tanks into America. Sunday morning, wake up, and every church got a tank sitting in front of it, and loudspeaker. Say, anybody try to go to church going to get machine gunned to death. They know damn good and well them old fools ain't about to go to church. But what they wouldn't consider, that in America, young people that ain't never been to church in their life would decide to go Sunday morning. And that's why you keep the system upset. 15,000 hippies and yippies came to Chicago to change the system. Then the whole establishment got uptight. Now, mind you, that's a very important word, change the system. Because, you see, that's what they was uptight over in Chicago. Didn't have nothing to do with what you kids were doing there. Didn't have nothing to do about tearing up the town. No. And to prove that, for the last 10 years, every spring break, you white kids been going to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, tearing the whole town up, man. And nobody gives a damn. They say, well, they're getting drunk, boys will be boys. Ha, ha, ha. But Chicago, it was that you was coming to change the system. And the whole establishment got uptight. Let me ask you something. Who do you think was the most immoral in Chicago last year? The hippies and yippies or the Shriners when they came to town for their convention? Who do you think committed the most adultery and spent the most money on whores and prostitution? The hippies and the yippies or the Shriners when they came to town for their convention? Nobody got upset over the Shriners because the Shriners didn't come to change nothing just to buy something. You know what's interesting about television, if you look at it long enough, is bad as the programming is on television, if you just keep looking at it long enough, that thing will accidentally slip through. That same television set that showed you the hippies and yippies in Chicago 9 weeks after the Democratic Convention was over, that same television set showed you another crowd in the street that nobody got upset over. Of course, they weren't irresponsible kids, neither it was in Chicago. You remember that morning in New York City, 20,000 sick, slimy degenerates came out in Wall Street to look at a broad's titties. Nobody got upset over the titty watches. Jed Hoover have yet to get on television and proclaim that titty watching is definitely communist inspired. What do you call 20,000
sick, slimy, degenerate titty watchers. Extremists left to right. And if Sister Francine is really sincere about not wanting to be watched in the mornings, all she has to do is understand the way these old degenerates think. Yeah, she hold a press conference tonight and say, tomorrow morning at 11:33, I'm going to get off that same subway wearing one of the tightest sweaters ever been worn in the history of the world. And I guarantee you tomorrow morning in New York City at 8 o'clock, there will be 300,000 of them sick degenerates waiting on her. When she emerges out of that subway at 11:33 with that tight sweater on, if she sincerely don't want to be watched, when she emerges up, have two signs across her bosom, one reading, "Free Huey Newton, baby," and the other one, "Bring the boys home from Vietnam." Now, I guarantee you, within 2 seconds' time, those 300,000 digits will be gone. Back into their Madison Avenue offices, finished participating in the antitrust violation. So I say, you youngsters got a big job. You notice how today we try to make you youngsters think that there's never been such an irresponsible young kid in the history of America. Well, it's not that we didn't do things, we just never did things to change the system. See, that's what makes you irresponsible. Bring tear gas out and throw on you, and you just keep coming. Call the army out and you still don't behave. See, that's irresponsible. Never supposed to ignore that gun. Well, we've always did little things when we were growing up in the country, but never did we try to change the system. And so we hope you young kids understand why us old fools in this country is so uptight. Now you youngsters want to tell us in America that morality will no longer mean a Brooks Brothers suit and a clean-shaven face and a haircut once a week. You must be out of your mind. You telling us that morality will no longer mean getting the latest fashions from Paris and bathing in Chanel No. 5 and having all the abortions you want, and you still Mrs. So-and-so. You young kids are trying to tell us that morality will no longer come from without, but will come from within. The youngsters is telling us that we'll never be able to buy a mall in this country no more. That's why we're so upset with you. Because all at once you have decided you're going to change the system. Well, I remember when I was a kid, we had panty raids. Y'all remember that? Let me ask you something. Which is the mark of a degenerate stick mind? A bunch of boys that goes into the girls' dormitory and steal all the drawers, or a bunch of cats that go and take over the administration building? Which is the mark of a sick, warped man? But for 10 years, we went into the girls' dormitory and stole all the drawers, and nobody got uptight over it. Because we weren't trying to change the system. They just say, well, boys will be boys. Then we got tired of stealing your bloomers. Then we decided we'd see how many goldfish we could swallow. Remember that? They don't give a damn about you swallowing goldfish. They'll let you swallow a whale if you want to. And then young kids got tired of swallowing goldfish, and they decided to see how many they could stuff into a telephone booth. You pick up the front page of the paper, and right on the back of the front page, University of Arizona sets new record, 500 kids stuffed into one phone booth. Then open up on the center page, and they got some old freakish looking cat from Bell Telephone bringing a brand new telephone booth saying, boys will be boys. You think boys will be boys? Don't take 500 kids downtown Manhattan one day. Just take 5 kids to downtown Manhattan with 5 picket signs. Don't get inside a telephone booth. Picket on the outside of the telephone booth and have picket signs asking AT&T about those high absorbing long-distance phone call rates, and see how quick a detective cop will bust you and throw you in jail, and see if anybody from Bell Telephone run around talking about boys will be boys.
Says you youngsters got a big job to do. Thanks to us old fools, we really left you a mess to clean up. Last year they assassinated Dr. Martin Luther King and everybody got uptight. Oh, they assassinated Dr. King. They gunned down Bobby Kennedy. Oh, they killed Bobby. They assassinated JFK and everybody. Oh, they shot the president. You know, nobody in America got upset when they assassinated Lincoln Rockwell and Malcolm X. You see, America is not a nation that gives a damn about an assassination until you kill somebody we like. 98% of everybody in America that got upset over Martin Luther King's assassination, they would not be upset in the morning if George Wallace was assassinated. You got a big job. You got to make this a nation that gives a damn about assassinations regardless to who it is, or you have to make a nation that don't care about nobody being assassinated. You got a big job to do. So I say you youngsters got a mess clean up. One of the biggest jobs you have, I do not advocate destroying the capitalistic system, but I say to you young folks, you better work like hell to beat the capitalists into their rightful position, and that is behind the United States Constitution and not in front of it. Because as long as the capitalists are in front of the United States Constitution, that means in America we will always put emphasis on property rights and there will be no emphasis on human rights. And this country is not controlled by the United States Constitution. This country do not function under the democratic process. This country is controlled and governed by the capitalists. That's why last year Americans came out and peacefully protested and peacefully assembled, peacefully petitioned for strong gun legislation, and the capitalists that manufactured the guns saw to it you didn't get a strong gun legislation. In a nation so insane, we demand that you get a prescription to get your medicine, but you don't need a prescription to get your gun. Hell, I can't hit you in the head with my pills and kill you, nor can I injure you by throwing my cough syrup on you. I'm not saying Americans shouldn't have guns. The Constitution says all Americans have a right to bear arms. But Americans got a right to get well, too. And if this country's gonna make me go through some changes to get my medicine, then damn it, it should make me go through some changes to get my gun. So I say, you youngsters got a big job of moving the capitalists behind the United States Constitution. The way you're going to do that is by directing all your grievances to the capitalists. There'll be no damn fool running out street marching under the Constitution. They don't give a damn about the Constitution. The only reason they care about the flag is because they make it. Yeah, you let them pass a law and say from here on in the flag's going to be made by the blind Jewish welfare mothers, and see how many people wouldn't be flying flags in the 4th of July. Yeah, you see how many people get uptight over that flag. Check out this system real quick. We live in a country today. They tell you 18-year-old boys, at 18 years old, you're old enough to go to war and die, but you're not old enough to vote. Or any of you that go along with that may be exactly what you need. And I meet so many young folks that I got to go to war and die at 18. I want the right to vote at 18. Don't be no damn fool. You got to die at 18, you better fight to get the right to vote at 17. Because as groovy as you young kids are today, you get the right to vote at 17, probably won't be no wars when you get 18. And you got a big job of moving the capitalists. How do you do that? Address all your grievances to the capitalists. You want the right to vote? 17 years old? You get that right. If you was organized across the country, that's the first thing you can do is organize. You want to change these colleges' administration? Do it the easy way. Don't take over the administration building. Organize young folks across this country. And next September, say, if we don't get all these reforms in the educational institutions, we're going to boycott eating meat 5 days a week. What do you think the packing house would do? What do you think them multi-millionaire right-wing cattle growers from Texas would do? Y'all talking about not eating no meat for 5 days out the week? Man, them right-wingers are flying to town, kick the doors off these president's office. Come here, boy, we want to talk to you. You want the right to vote at 17 years old? You can get that. Don't be down here marching, candle flags, singing all them old tunes. You want the right to vote at 17 years old? You organize across this country. And after you get young folks organized, you go to the record industry. And you tell them if they don't get to Washington, D.C. and lobby and within 2 months' time get a bill pushed through that says 17-year-olds can vote, you're going to call for a nationwide boycott of buying photograph records for 2 years. What do you think would happen? Yeah, before they sit back and let you wipe out a multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry, they'll let 16-year-olds vote. Well, you see, all these old fools, they don't buy no records. And if it is, it's one of them old Dirksen albums. So I say you got a big job of moving the capitalists behind the United States Constitution. Because the capitalists have demonstrated time and time again they have a passionate disrespect for human rights. Well, the cigarette industry is a good example of it. They're fighting the federal communication system like hell so they can keep their ads on television and radio. They don't even have respect for your little brothers and sisters. They don't even have respect for your unborn babies that watches those ads, and they don't see the danger. They just see the glamour. Yeah, turn on television, air cat rolling across with a horse. Get it up. And he slows up, whoa, baby, and pulls out his pack of cigarettes. And I always likes to let me a marble. What's a little kid gonna do? He know damn good and well he can't never get him a horse, but he know he'd get him a marble one day. Wouldn't be bad if they had an honest cigarette commercial, show that old cowboy riding through the cemetery and stop, pull out his cigarettes and say, this is marble country. Ain't nothing wrong with cigarettes being on the market. If you youngsters are old enough to know damn good and well cigarettes cause cancer, and you got a right to smoke them if you want to. You got a right to put a pistol to your head and pull it if you want to. But that's you. I think you should fight to protect these young kids. That if they knew cigarettes cause cancer at that age, they might develop a strange dislike for them. And so you cigarette smokers that don't give a damn about your chest, you still should protect the kids. And after you finish your next pack of cigarettes, it would be mighty groovy if you put that empty pack in the envelope and mailed it into the cigarette industry and asked your friends to do the same thing and put a little note in there and tell them if they insist on advertising on television and radio where your little brothers and sisters and your young kids can see it, you considering boycotting cigarettes, you'd be surprised how quick they decide to take their ads off. You got a job of putting your capitalist behind the United States Constitution. And then for the first time, we'll put emphasis on human rights. The fact that we emphasize property rights is the reason Mayor Daley of Chicago made that statement he made, shoot all looters to kill. Never said shoot murderers to kill, never said shoot dope pushers to kill. You know why? Because murderers and dope pushers deal with the human rights, looters deal with property. And to be honest with you, when Mayor Daley made that statement pertaining to shooting all looters to kill, it's the first time I ever agreed with him. Yeah, I hurried up and sent him a telegram. I said, dear fool, your statement pertaining to shooting all looters to kill, I agree with wholeheartedly.
if you make one stipulation, let's first make it retroactive and let's first put the gun in the Indian's hand.
Yeah, you youngsters got a big job. Keep your eyes open 24 hours a day. Watch everything, especially all those old fools. Particularly more watch your mom and dad and ask them a lot of questions because you got to sleep with them.
Oh yeah, you know somebody came by your house today, knocked on the door.
Mother father said, who is it?
A government inspector. Say, what do you want? Say, we come by to get your cat or your dog. Say, what? Say, yeah, we just got a bill pushed through. We're sending pets to Vietnam.
I don't have to tell you how much hell your mom and dad has raised somebody to try to send that dog to Vietnam.
It'd be a shootout on the front lawn. It sounds funny to you, but that's mighty scary when you got to realize you living in a country today where your mom and daddy would raise more hell over the dog going to Vietnam than they'd raise over you going to Vietnam. Maybe if your mother and daddy stopped trying to make money for a few minutes and listen to what you young kids are talking about, maybe they would understand if you changed, but they so busy making money. You ever stop to ask yourself which is the most important card in America today, the draft card or the Social Security card?
Sure, yeah, Social Security card.
Social Security card stays with you all of your life. Women and men have Social Security cards. Draft card stays with you a part of your life. Only men have draft cards beyond a shadow of a doubt. Social Security card is the most important card in America today. Why isn't we all sitting in this room tonight to burn our Social Security cards and nobody gives a damn? It's the most important card. But if you burn your draft card, they'd run the army in here on us.
You know why, don't you? Young kids burning draft cards, you're saying to us old fools, one day, old fools, you're going to get this country in a war that we're not going to fight for you, which means you're going to have to fight it yourself.
We old fools got business with you youngsters, but we ever have to go fight our own war. Look what happened.
I met a young fellow when I spoke at the University of Wisconsin. After I finished, he rushed up to me and said, Mr. Gregory, can I speak with you for a few minutes? I got a problem I'd like to talk to you about. I said, yes, son, what's your problem? He said, you know, I'm a draft resister. And I think I'm having a nervous breakdown. I said, why? Did you do what you wanted to do? He said, yes. I said, did you do what you believed in? He said, yes. I said, well, there's something wrong because if your conviction is not to go to war and kill people, a whole lot of people have been killed for their convictions, have been put in jail for their convictions. And anytime you have a high moral, decent conviction, you never have to worry about going crazy.
No, I think I have a nervous breakdown. I have nothing to do with my draft resistance. My mother and father, they don't have anything to do with me anymore since I decided to be a draft resistant. They don't write me. They send my letters back. I can't go home.
Says, son, you haven't got a problem. The only problem you got is you're silly enough to react to parents who think with the wisdom of food.
He said, but it's still my mother and father. I said, look, suppose you decided you wasn't going to be a draft resistant. Let's say instead of that, here at the University of Wisconsin at 3 o'clock in the morning, you took 40 sticks of dynamite and threw it into the girls' dormitory and leveled the whole building down to the ground and killed every girl in the dormitory. The minute your mama found out you did it, then mom and dad would be on the first plane flying and you're putting up your bail money, running around talking, we don't know what got to tell our mom.
And you got to ask loud and clear, simple questions. That question is, if democracy is as good as we tell you it is, why in the hell are we running all over the world trying to ram it down people's throats? Today, you youngsters work to make this democracy.
birthright for the first time, that's the day that you're going to be done. Because you see, anything good, you don't have to force on people. They will steal it. You have a big job. Probably the most important thing I'll say to you, youngsters, all evening is what I'm fixing to say to you now. That is simply, I hope you young kids do not make the same mistake as college. See, when we went to college, we were so busy trying to learn how to make a living, we forgot to learn. Somebody, hell, you were born somebody. If you let somebody teach you how to be somebody else, that makes you two people. Check out what Stephen Freud said happened to you when you become two folks. Why you got to go away to college for 4 years and pay top dollar for somebody to teach you how to be crazy? Or I meet people say, well, you got to eat to live. I'm going to college so I can get me a job so I can eat. Well, if you ever learn how to live, eating is the simplest thing in the world to do. Damn gorilla eat more food in one meal than you eat in 6 weeks. You ever known one to go to college so he can get him a job? You ever bumped into a gorilla in the supermarket getting himself something to eat shopping with? When was the last time you read where a gorilla starved to death? You never read about a gorilla starving to death as long as gorillas know how to live. But the first time gorillas start learning how to make a living and forget to learn how to live, y'all gonna have colleges for them too. One day I hope these educational institutions understand that all they should be in business to do is to bring out from within what nature's already working. Not to put anything in it. Nature, you are nature. You know how powerful and how strong you are. Do you know what you represent? You are the universe. Check it out. Learn about your body. Learn about your universe. Nine planets to the universe. You have nine homes. As you work to change the system, you will spend a lot of energy to change the education establishment for the first time, make them live up to their name, educate. Because the average school in America do not know how to educate. They've been too damn busy indoctrinating, and there's a difference between an education and indoctrination. Always so busy programming the youngsters. We know how to do it too. You come to class, and that's here's your assignment, give you a book to read. That's not where they program. That's not where they program.
After you finish reading the book, we give you the test. And if you didn't read the book the way we want you to read the book, you can't pass the test. That's why young people in America will stoop to the lowest depths they ever stoop in their life to steal the test. Because you know, once you get a test, you don't need a book. You don't grade the book. No, we don't grade the book, we grade the test. And after we grade the test, we put it on that old thing called transcript, which ain't nothing but a fraud. That transcript don't mean nothing to nobody but to the establishment, and it's a way of controlling you. And if you think that transcript means anything to you, you graduate from college and 10 years from now meet somebody you want to marry. If you think that transcript's important, you get ready to raise a family one day and see if you ever have to take it to bed with them. Think that transcript's important, you graduate from college and let the administration build and burn down and burn up all the records and see if you ever go back to college. Transcript don't mean that. You let your house burn down, burn up all your money, you broke. But burn the transcript don't mean a damn thing. Rather than have just a way we use to manipulate you. So I say to you youngsters tonight, you got a big job. See to it that educational institutions live up to their name, that is to educate. If most of the problems confronting the college campuses today, you can't blame on the administration or a couple of small isolated incidents you can blame the administration, but most of the problems confronting the universities and colleges today, you can trace back to the board of directors. Who is the board of directors? You took a survey of all the colleges in America, took all the names of all the people on the board of directors and looked them up and did research on them, you'd find out that 98% of them cats is causing all the problems on the face of this earth today. And the only thing that qualified them to be on the board of directors is because they made some money. Nobody even asked them how they made it. They don't know nothing about education, and Lord knows they don't know nothing about education. So I say, you youngsters got a big job. Work to change the system. Look at all the board of directors, the colleges that the Rockefellers are on. Can you imagine Rockefeller being on board of directors? If it wasn't for his damn Chase Manhattan Bank, them black brothers in South Africa could breathe a little bit fresh air. If it wasn't for his damn Standard Oil, a whole continent in South America could get free. And yet he's on one board of directors after another. The hell can he tell you young kids about how you're supposed to carry yourself in life? Who seem to understand what the black students are talking about? Few people seem to understand what black folks is talking about in this country. White folks is real funny. They run around getting all uptight, think we dislike you. You're so damn insignificant, we ain't got time to dislike you. We don't dislike you. Oh, you got some niggas hate turnips. But basically, I guess it's just your white ego to just keep making yourself think that you are the one that's, you're so insignificant. We don't dislike you. We hate your stinking white racist institution. That's what we dislike. We uptight with you because you're responsible for it, not directly. Let me give you a better example. If you came by my house and we was good friends and you brought your little daughter with you and my dog attacked your daughter, who you gonna sue? My dog